Welcome back to another episode of Broken Record Ministries. I'm Ronnie. Silent, not so silent Ron's back.
I am. Hello.
Could you please make some hot coffee, Coffee Mike?
Hello out there.
And the bearded wonder has returned. Will is here.
For tonight.
And the lethal weapon, Stephanie, is back.
Hello.
Lethal weapon in the voices.
Hello.
Wow, bro. Did you just make fun of her?
Nope.
I think you did.
I'm sure she
did. I think
still
he did.
I'll from yeah, there. I'll get a round kick later.
And I'm going to stay and watch.
And Brother Bob's back.
How's it going?
Will you read our Bible verse?
Yes. All right, we are in Isaiah 43, verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
This episode topic is, do you have a fake ID?
That was the ESV version?
Yeah,
that's what it said.
Why, what does your ESV version say?
I don't know.
that's what my ESV
oh, never
version
mind.
Said.
I'm in the NIV. I'm like, wait a minute.
Do you have a fake ID?
I used to have. Thank you very much.
I tried to get one.
And it got me a lot of alcohol back in the day.
Sir.
Never
and,
needed one.
And into places that had to have an ID.
And yes, I had fake IDs back in the day. I would fake people just so I could get what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a given. I mean, we all got different faces.
And what they want to get what you want.
That's it.
And since last week, so for me, my wife and I.
I didn't read it well enough.
Well, you did fine. I guess I hit the play button. Sorry about that. I'm pulling a Bob over here.
Oh, wow. You see what happens if you take the reins?
I didn't take the reins. I set my phone down.
So for me, my wife and I and Schmike and his wife, Tisha, who's been on the podcast, went to a marriage conference over the weekend. But even prior to that, identity kept coming up in devotionals and other things that we, or me personally, have been seeing. So I was like, you know what? Like at the marriage conference, it was, do you have a fake identity? Or are you showing your real identity? And then we heard a sermon on Sunday that pretty much said that. And then during small group in a lesson, it was all about what vest are you wearing? So, in our walk, do we have a fake ID? Are we playing double dutch? When the going gets tough, we get going. Or do we drop to our knees and pray like we tell the world that we do?
He's asking, are you just a Sunday morning Christian?
And I had to wrestle with that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was, yeah, sometimes I do have a fake ID. Because if you line them both up between fake ID on the left and regular ID on the right, it's like I start off on the right, and then I go to the left, and then I hopscotch back, and then I hopscotch back. Or the things that I'm good about, or that I'm in line with God about, those are little things over there on that left side. They don't matter. I got these big ones figured out. Mike. I know you're lost without the other Mike tonight, too.
That's okay. I'll be all right. Miss you, Mike. I think everybody, whether they're willing to admit it or not, has two IDs in their walk with Christ. Even the most devout people, at times, I'm sure, have struggled with something. And they've had to put on a false face to move forward. I think we all have. I think the real question is how long we keep the mask on and why we put it on to begin with. That's where your question led me today, was why do we have two IDs?
You have two IDs?
Yes. But the question I couldn't answer for myself was, why do I have two IDs? And it kept coming down a lot of it to trust and pride.
Fear?
Fear, yeah. It was a big one.
That's what, like, fear masks a lot of stuff for me. Right? Like, I've said it on here before. Like, I used to not give two rips what anybody thought about me or said about me. And then, like, now, like, I'm like, oh. I second guess myself a lot, which is probably a good thing because I didn't second guess myself at all. So it was like Katie barred the door. But we have to remember one thing, just like this verse says. He knows us by name. So, like, who are we trying to impress when we do have that fake ID? Not God.
That's the why I kept coming back to. Why do we have two IDs? It's about impressing somebody or trying to hold somebody's judgment off from you.
Trying to make yourself look good in somebody's eyes, somebody that you're not.
Mm-hmm. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yep.
Didn't really know what I was going to say about this topic until that came up.
Until the topic came up?
Yeah. I didn't have no idea what I was going to say. But I, this ID, this fake ID, I feel like I question myself a lot because people ask, they talk about stuff and I try to give them spiritual advice. You know what I mean? And then after I do it, I sit there and I judge myself like, okay, I'm telling this person this, but am I really living what I'm telling?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it makes me question myself all the time. And then it makes me not want to give the advice because I feel like, man, I know what I'm saying to be right, but for me to say it and sometimes not feel like I'm living it, is that being a hypocrite? And then it puts me in a place where I feel like I'm not, shouldn't say worthy, but not equipped to give the advice, but yet somebody needs it, and if I'm the only one there, you know, I know what to say. I know how to live for God. But sometimes I'm like, I just told them to do this. Am I actually doing it myself?
Yeah.
You know? And I question myself about that all the time. And then it makes me sit there and ponder and put myself in a hole. And I'm like, man, I hope. I just hope I told them what they needed to hear.
Welcome back, Will.
Hi, Ronnie.
Do you have anything? Yeah. And you don't, like, when I sent out text, that's just how I perceived it, right? So if you guys see it some other way, as you know, in the past, I don't know, 112 episodes, whatever we've done, like, take it away.
It's over 200 episodes, by the way.
Thanks.
Not a problem. I was there all week.
Is that including B-side?
I think it is.
So how I took it was, and how I've gathered is, we all do have two IDs. We're called by God to be one. We have one from our past that we have made ourselves. Personally, growing up, I was a good-natured kid as much as I could be. But whenever I was around friends, I was trying to impress them. And whatever they were calling me, like Jack Wagon or...
Or not so PG names.
The butt of the jokes or whatever. Yeah. Like I was right there with them, putting that on myself, saying that that's who I was. And that's who I became. And I hated every minute of it. Looking back, it put me in some really dark places. I guess I need to put myself a little closer here.
Well, don't worry about that. Don't pay attention to that. Michael, pay attention to it.
But what I've always known is it's not what other people call you. It's what you answer to. Are we answering? We're ultimately going to answer to God for who we are if we followed that calling, and that's who we're supposed to be. I'm trying not to dance around the subject, but just...
No, you're good.
Which one are we actually following? So which ID are you? I don't think it's a bad thing to check yourself multiple times a day on a certain subject. If you have to double-check, triple-check yourself on one thing to make sure you're doing it the right way or the way that God's called you to go, that's the way you need to go.
Especially if you don't want to go in that direction.
Oh.
Right, like it's not your idea.
No.
Right, like Steph, you said, I don't know why I come here. I know why I come here, because I'm obeying, but...
I don't enjoy it one
And so, like, you ask or try to get the exit on the way out.
Every week. God, you're not going to make me go, right? He's like, you're going.
And you said, I don't have anything on this subject.
Right. Yeah, I got nothing.
You don't have anything?
So I really went the same thought process that Ron did of, especially this quote. I've talked about this verse a few weeks ago and how it's one of those where I have the knowledge, I know it's there, but I don't have the faith to live this out. And I know that's something that he's working on me with. And so I, same thought, like, does that make me a hypocrite? Because I can tell everybody all about, this is what God says about you. But then when it's like, well, that's what God says about me too, I'm like, no.
I'm the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because I really oppose Bob with his worthy. Because I am not worthy without Christ.
That's exactly right.
And so I have a hard time accepting that.
That's why the word should not come out of your mouth, because Christ deems you worthy.
But I'm the one that put Christ on the cross.
Undeserving, yes, we did.
And so this is what I've been like processing through all day, because I knew this would be Bob's response. and so this was really what I've been thinking through today is, where do I identify? Like, how do I identify myself? And I really struggled with that because, to be honest, I don't know. Like, if you honestly ask me, I kind of told you that yesterday where neither.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of like that question in the interview, tell me about yourself. And I'm like, I will tell you all the things that I've done in my career, but to tell you about me, no. Yeah. And I know that's like my trust that I go back to too. And I think in this topic, it's hard for me because I don't feel like I really identify in the world. Like, yes, I am a mother, I am a teacher, I am a wife, I am all these different things. And so I have those hats, but it's not like it's a part of who I am, but it's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But then to say I am a full-on child of God, I'm not worthy of that title.
You are worthy.
I question it, and especially after, like I said, if somebody is in a bad way and I see it, and I'm sitting there and I'm telling them what God needs them to hear, or I feel God needs them to hear, then once I leave, I'm like, okay, I just told them this, but where do I sit on it?
Right.
And it's like, And then I start judging myself on the so-called worthy. Am I worthy enough to be telling these people this? Am I good enough? I mean, am I knowledgeable? You know, I've been a Christian. I gave my life to God, what, 2-3 years ago? You know, it's like, I don't feel totally equipped to be giving that advice, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, he puts it on my heart to go ahead and say it. But then later on, I judge myself. Am I this person that I just told them to be? Am I living my life the way I just told them that he wants them to live? And I get second guessing myself, and I'm like, man, I'm not the one that should be giving this advice.
But you are.
I don't feel like
you were there.
I don't feel
you're
like
there.
Who's going to tell your story better than you?
And I think, too, part of that is the enemy whispering in the ear saying, you're not good enough for this. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really have to, like, get behind me, Satan, because I can't. Especially, like, these past few weeks have been a struggle for me. Like, my depression has been really elevating recently. It's like, when I start noticing those thoughts, I'm like, no, cut it off here, because I can't go down that rabbit hole or it'll get bad. And yeah, you won't see me for weeks.
Well, when I get there, I start texting the guys. I'm in a bad way, boys. I'm getting hit.
I understand that, Steph. To be honest, I just came out of a rabbit hole like you're talking about. And it was ugly. I was gone for weeks.
See, Mike's one of the guys that, you know, when he's in a bad spot, and I talk to him about it, and I'm sitting there telling him these things, you know, like before, and then when I leave him, I'm like, man, was I the one that probably should have been telling him that? Because look where I'm at. Look, you know, because I fall short all the time. So.
Well, we all do.
Exactly.
And I get, yeah, I understand. But where Mike was talking about where he was, I just felt like, am I the right one to be talking to him to try to get him out of there?
If not you, who? I mean.
Something that I have told others before is when we see these things about what God says, God, you know, God loves us, that he wants us, that he has all these like great glorious things with us in mind, and it's hard for me to wrap my brain around, like, I can say the words to others, but the believing is really hard. But then when I see somebody else drawn, like what you're saying, when I see somebody else who's also struggling in the same way, and I'm like, this is what God says, and they're like, well, yeah, I know that. I'm like, then you have to believe it, because if you don't believe it, you're calling God a liar. And it eats at me every time I say it, because then it's like that little voice in my head saying, so what are you doing?
Preaching to yourself.
But I'm like, shh, yeah. Don't talk right now.
Yeah. You flick it off. Get out of there.
You know, Ronnie, I also thought about this a little bit, a lot, well, actually a lot today. I think sometimes we dive in and out of mask quickly based upon the situation we're currently in. Like a situation where the world is needing something that you have or whatever it is, and you can perform that task, but you really don't want to perform that task because it's not biblical.
So then you don't perform that task.
I agree, but how many times have somebody, you know, quit change to a mask and say, hey, or I don't want to be associated with those people wearing that mask, so I'm going to put this one on. I guess that's really what I'm trying to say. People go in and out based upon the situation.
Mm. Chameleons.
Or who they're with.
Or, exactly. Yeah.
Bob, you awake over there?
I am.
He's about to enlighten
Rhea drop some nukes.
See?
I am. Let's go back to this. Let's go back to this word.
Uh-oh.
I knew we weren't getting away that easy.
Yeah, you ain't getting off that easy. Who bought
I'm
you?
I'm not listening.
Who bought you? Who paid the price? Who paid the price? Who did he pay it for?
All of us.
Including Stephanie? Including Ron? Correct? Tell me I'm wrong. tell me I'm wrong. Come on, tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
You told me to tell you you're wrong.
I know, but you're saying Christ didn't buy you? He didn't pay the price for you? He did. So that deems you worthy.
It deems him worthy.
No, but as he paid that price, he deemed you worthy. He deemed all of us worthy. Now, were we deserving? Absolutely not. Will we ever be deserving? Absolutely not. The thing is about the identity thing, Christ alone is the only one that has the authority to define who we are. We should not define ourselves. We should allow Him to define it. For the simple fact is when we accepted Him as Lord and Savior, we become Him. We become like Him. So when we come to like Him, when we come to be like Him, He defines us.
What did He do with our sin, Bob?
Oh, he threw them in the deepest part of the ocean and posted a no fishing sign.
I like that, Bob.
It's just, once that sin's gone, God remembers it no more. The only ones that bring that sin back up is us. Because we have shadows of vests that we used to wear. Mm-hmm. Somebody last night said that they were just covering vest with his vest. No, He took our vest off. He put His vest on us. He put His white cloak on us. He cleaned us clean. The only thing we've got is shadows of a vest, and that's what Satan uses to keep us from knowing our true identity and who we're supposed to be. And that's Christ, because He's the one that paid that price. He's the one that deemed us worthy. He bought us back. Our life is not our life. Our life is His. And we should live like it's His. Don't get me wrong. I don't. I'm going to be the first to tell you. I fail at that every day. It breaks my heart every day that I know that I'm going to fail one way or another. Undoubtedly, we live in this stupid world, and we gotta play the stupid game that the world wants to play. The thing is we gotta live in this world. We don't gotta live of this world. It took me a long time to figure that out. We don't need the of. This world has nothing to offer. The only thing it will give you is heartache and worry and make you old. Because it's going to beat you down. It's going to try to stick you as deep in the mud as it can stick you. All because the world pretty much belongs to Satan. That's why God sent His Son out of heaven to hang on that cross, to pay the price, to deem us worthy. Steph, I'm sorry. It just,
No, he's not.
I'm not sorry, because it's just truth. I mean, the word worthy or unworthy, it's just something that Satan has tried to put in our heads to keep us from knowing that we are part of God, part of Christ. So
what a blessing.
Yeah, what a blessing. That's right, that we are part of it. But like I say, I fail at it, and I ain't gonna lie, I used to have several identities. I used to have several faces. It just all depended on the day, what was going on, and...
Who was around?
Who was around, correct.
Who you were with.
So, I mean, now, I try not to put on them identities. I try to keep my identity in Christ. I try to show Him through everything I do. Don't get me wrong. I still fail. I do, because I allow things to get to me sometimes. I allow things to take my focus off of Him. But just because my focus is broke off of Him doesn't mean I have a different identity, because I do not. Because once saved, always saved. You can't give that back. There's people that'll try to tell you, yes, you can. You cannot give your salvation back. Because if you give your salvation back and you want it back, does he got to re-crucify himself to do that? That ain't happening. He only done it once. So once saved, always saved. Now, going back, did you really get saved when you said you did? I mean, that's something to think about. Mm-hmm. What was your genuine answer when God presented himself to you and was like, do you want to be my child? I mean, that's when he says, hey, come take my identity on. My identity is the one to have, not yours.
I also like to think about when we're getting close and with God, whether we're in the Word all the time, we're doing the good things, like whatever that we're serving, like whatever it is, right? Like we're in the Word and those attacks start coming and it feels like they keep coming and they come and it's like, well, I must be doing something right then. Because if not, he would have left me alone. But like there was a scene when I started walking there was a Christian movie that I seen or a TV show, I don't remember which, and it stuck with me, and I always wanted to be like the one Christian guy. There was the evil guy that was coming and trying to get all the non-believers, right? And then there was this really pure Christian guy, like stand-up guy, not perfect, but a stand-up guy. And the non-believer saw the guy coming towards him and was like flipping out, like he's coming to get me, he's coming to get me. And the believer like started laughing. He was like, what are you laughing about? He's getting closer and he's getting closer. And he was like, he's not coming to get you, he's coming to get me. He's already got you. So that's, I know it sounds weird, but like that's what I strive for. It's that let him come gunning for me. Now, as I opened the episode up with, I double dutch sometimes on some things. And like Bob said, he deemed me worthy, but he knows my name and he knows who I am. And like I've said multiple times also, God's already factored in my stupidity. So I'm sure he's factored in my stubbornness too. What?
Nothing.
He didn't factor in your stubbornness?
Sure.
I find it curious to talk about, really. That's the thing. And I'm not trying to tear us all down or build us up or whatever. I just want us to be aware.
Just makes me want to ask myself, which idea am I trying to live?
And
I know the one I want to live.
I don't think that's a bad question.
I know the one I want to live, and I know the one I need to. But I always question myself, am I truly doing it? I try really hard. But I'm my own enemy, so, you know.
Yeah, I think we all are, especially around this table.
And if you don't get that so-called reassurance, I guess, kind of say.
Mm-hmm.
You just doubt yourself a lot, you know, because I doubt myself a lot.
I know this topic hit, I'm not going to speak for him, but Schmike pretty hard. Because he was also dealing with some things. And it's like one of those things where you got to ask yourself, are you checking boxes too? Right? Like, I'm doing this. Because if I don't do this, then Steph's going to make fun of me. You know? Or just for example, well, right? Like,
I don't want to see Steph see me doing the wrong thing.
Or
I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah. Or I gotta go here, because if I don't go here, then somebody else won't go there. Right?
Yep.
And so...
It's all about feeling judged. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want to feel like I'm being, you know, like I said, the hypocrite thing. You know, I'm telling you this, but yet they're like, well, I know him. I know him from before. He's...
Yeah.
Pumping people full of it.
Dude, you know? You don't have to say nothing to me. Like, I mean, I get it.
I've changed, or I'm trying to change, and I'm working on it, but yet the people that knew me from before, if they see me talking that way or this and that, you know, they're like, ah, he's full of it. He's full of smoke. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then that gets me second-guessing, you know, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing here? Am I saying the right thing? Am I...
I totally get it.
You know, and I don't really care what they think.
But you do.
But at the same token, it's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I know, just like that verse, right? Like, I know that verse. I've heard that verse. It's probably one of those quote-unquote bumper sticker verses, right?
I agree.
But knowing it and reading it and the time when you're in it, a whole different thing. You got anything else to add there, Babado?
I do not.
Steph?
I think for me, because I mentioned, like, I struggle with identifying with either. And I think it comes back to taking that time to really reflect inward of where am I with the kids and constantly going and doing, it seems like that's all I have time for, is to go and do and check things off the not spiritual list.
Mm-hmm.
That it makes it really hard to take the time to reflect and analyze and correct and all the things that I feel like we need to do to be able to identify ourselves accurately. And sitting here just thinking about it and listening in, I feel like for me, it just highlights how much I've kind of gotten a little lazy in my prioritizing of God.
I think that's what slapped me in the face over the past week and a half, for me.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, because I was thinking about that, and I've noticed especially, and I could probably tell you which one came first, but I'm just kind of reflecting and realizing, like I mentioned, like I struggle with anxiety and depression, and they have been a roller coaster recently, and somebody who doesn't get into my feelings, who a lot of times doesn't have the feelings, because everything inside is just numb, like there's nothing, and realizing that, wait a minute, I'm feeling some things and I don't like it, so let's choke that out a little bit more.
But, choke that out. Did you hear that, Colin Mike?
Yeah, I was a bit afraid at that point.
But I noticed, too, that I've not been reading my Bible first thing in the morning. I've been waking up late for work. Like, not late for work, but like later than
normal.
Right, and so... Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm still getting ready, so I have to be at work at a certain time, so the easiest thing to cut is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of something that I've been reflecting on the last several days, is I've let that go. I'm lucky to be able to pray. Lucky, I don't like that word, but I'm...
Fortunate.
Right, if I'm able to get my prayer in before lunchtime, like my morning prayer, because I'm just like, other than like, yeah, I talk to God throughout the whole day, but not like my, God, this is my time to just sit and focus on you kind of prayer. I try that at lunch. Like, today there was an issue in the hallway with not one of my kids, but I felt pressed that I was supposed to intervene, so that was my lunchtime. And just those little things that I'm like, wait, my depression is increasing and my time with God is decreasing. Is this a positive correlation? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I struggle with identifying myself. Because I don't feel like I'm a part of the world. I feel like I'm too rebellious, I guess, to say I'm a part of the world. Like, everybody else is doing this thing, so I'm not because everybody else is doing this thing.
Right.
Like, that's my personality. But I also know I've gotten lazy in my faith recently, and I think that kind of let my ID get a little, I don't want to say tainted, but maybe I misplaced it a little bit.
You're looking for your wallet now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
How about you didn't misplace it, you just flipped it around where you couldn't see it.
She put it on top of the fridge.
Yes.
Where she couldn't reach it. Where she
couldn't see it.
Well, you said see, I said reach.
Reach. Okay, Ronnie, I was being nicer than you.
Coffee Mike, what about you? You got anything else?
No, I was just sitting here pondering everything everybody said. I think we hide a lot of our own pain behind our different mask. And when I say pain, I don't mean it can be physical.
Mm-hmm.
But I think spiritual pain, like the inability to trust the Lord or believe as you should believe. Because, you know, it's no accident that the Bible says faith of a mustard seed. You know, it's just a little bit. So then Steph reflected, well, just how much do I have? And where am I? Why am I involved in any of this?
Yeah, but when you question yourself, also think about that too. Do you have just that little mustard seed of faith?
No, I don't, but...
You don't?
I do, I mean, rather. I'm sorry.
So I'm saying that would be a step in the right direction.
Yes, but... When you're struggling with...
Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm just... that came to my mind, so...
I find myself begging, praying for more, you know, trust and hard faith. And then like Steph and Bob and everybody around this table said, then the enemy gets in your ear, you know, and tells you, or the world... God's not real. He's not listening to you. He doesn't care. And that's when you got to be back. And that's where your identity needs to be founded in Christ, right there. Because I truly believe He died on the cross for me, took my sins, we put Him in a tomb, and 3 days later He rose and defeated death, and made a way for me to be with the whole Heavenly Father. And I truly believe that. So it's easy to believe that, but when I read the Bible sometimes, I wonder, why don't I believe that, but I believe the other? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it I believe Christ came back, but not some of this other stuff? Or I have trouble believing it?
No, yeah.
I don't know. This was a tough one.
It was so tough that Schmike... said, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah.
Ron?
Yes?
You've been uncharacteristically, wow, that's a bad word, a tough word for me to say.
I've been talking.
Is it a real word?
What are you talking about? Where are we going?
Uncharacteristically.
There we go. I think that's the real
quiet. Word.
Quiet. Sorry.
What? I didn't think I'd been that quiet.
What you got? You got anything else that you want to add that
has been said? I'm just sitting here thinking about my own personal thing. I'm like, I guess for me, if it feels uncomfortable to talk about, then maybe I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You know,
mm-hmm.
The hard thing, out of my comfort zone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I gotta learn to. I hate to say trust and believe what I'm saying because I like to think that I do, but yet he puts it in my head, kind of like Stephanie was saying, he puts it in your head like wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but yet if God is having me speak it, then why don't I believe it?
Yeah.
And I want to believe it and I feel like I believe it, but then I second guess it after it's already over.
Mm-hmm.
you know, did I give the right advice? Did I say the right thing? And you all say it all the time. If you said it, then most likely he's put it on your heart, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yet it just makes me feel like, man, I hope I'm not leading them down the wrong road. I mean, I'm trying to direct them down the right road, at the same time questioning what side of the road I'm on myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I get it. Like Steph brought up earlier, I think. Like, being a boss, being a leader, have been a coach, it's easier for me to instruct and walk alongside and show and teach until I turn the mirror around. And then it's on me, and I'm like, nope, let's see. There's got to be another little kid that I can teach how to swing a baseball bat. You know, like I don't – and self-reflect or the interview question. I don't know.
You say walk beside, and when you're walking beside, it makes me feel like, well, should we be walking beside or should we be walking in front for the good example or walking behind so we're all walking the same road?
That's God's job.
Huh?
That's God's job.
Yeah.
Some people have been baptized and just left at the cross with no guidance after said. Like your job. Yeah, that brings out another irritable thing for me too. It's like, oh, my job's done now. Put another gold sticker by my name. Like I'm selling cars.
Mm. Truthfully, your job should have just started because God's the one that saved them.
No, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
That's when our job starts.
Yeah.
But that's not the way most people think. They're like, oh, no. I got them to the altar. I got them to where they were saved by God. Well, okay. On to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
But it don't work that way.
It can't work that way because people slide.
It shouldn't work that way.
We're slide. And you can't, you know, like I said, it's like Mike, you know. Mike slid. He got in that bad spot. And I felt like I had left him. So I went back. And I talked to him. I talked to him. I talked to him. I talked to his wife. You know. And he's at the table. I'm not saying he's at the table because of me, because he's not. He's at the table because of God. But I should have been there the whole time. And I felt like I might have slid a little. When he needed me, I might have slid just a little.
You know, new Christians are just like new babies. They got to be fed or they're going to die. Period.
Well, I'm going to give Schmike credit for this one because he's not here and he probably won't listen anyway. But
so it's 1,000 points.
This will be the first podcast he listens to.
Yeah, probably. But when I was younger in my walk, and I did the mic sliding, right? And he said, if Bob sold you a brand new set of tires and put them on, and there's a half an inch thick of ice on that road, does it really matter if those tires are brand new or old? Are you still going to slide everywhere? And I said, yeah. He said, okay, so God knows that you're going to slide.
Mike Smith came up with an analogy?
Yeah, I told you, like, I'm going to give him credit because he's not here. But
wow.
But did you stay on the road?
Is the shoulder part of the road?
That's what I asked him. I said, does it matter I took out that white picket fence or not?
It's not the ditch.
Yeah. But even if you land in that ditch, God has a wrecker.
Yeah.
You know? So no matter what, if it's a brand new set of tires or if it's...
And he's out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Pulling in people out of the ditch.
Yep.
But then it's also our job to come along too and help others.
Correct.
Out of that ditch.
Yes, yeah. Right. Because once we've been rescued... We have to be the rescue team as well.
And after you rescue, you need to stay. Like I said, I felt like I slid. on Mike. And I shouldn't have.
No, you didn't.
Well.
Remember, part of it is on me as well, man. I mean, I've got to do what I need to do to get right. You can't do that for me.
I know, but I still should have been there on the supporting side more. Because of course, it did get me to a spot where I had to take a time out for myself because it was putting me in a bad spot as well. And I didn't want that to roll off on him if I was to go, you know,
yeah.
And make his situation worse.
Right.
So I had to get myself right again before I could go back.
Mm-hmm.
Still, once, you know, like you said, once you bring that person to the altar, that just doesn't mean that you give up on anybody.
Well, I'm not even saying give up. Just, you know, like.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, and that's where I'm at. Because I talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
We know. We know.
I don't know if that was a good quote there or a bad one. I have a lot of people tell me all the time, is there anybody in this town you don't know?
I've been out to dinner with you. I understand that.
I've been hundreds of miles away and saw somebody that I knew.
Right.
So let's pull the needle off the record. Final thoughts. Coffee Mike?
Oh, I get the honor of being first.
Sure.
Well, I think for me, the different masks boil down to one simple thing. It's my inability to trust and a pride issue. And like Seth said, and Bob and Ron and others around this table, that we need to take the time to look inward to see why we believe what we believe or why we don't believe what we should believe. And again, it comes back to the thing we always say, community. Do you have someone out there acting as your guardrails on the road that you can bounce off of when you're off the road? Do you have somebody helping you? If not, you've got to reach out and find somebody. They're just not going to show up at your door unless your name is Ron Williams.
Well,
I take that back. Ron and Mike have both shown up at my door, haven't they? Yeah. And Ron A. But
I was invited.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, that's where I'm at with it.
Ron? But, no, Ron, are you done?
Yes.
I didn't want to cut you off.
I'm all done.
You said that's where I'm done with it, and then it looked like you were going to start saying something else.
No, I'm done. All done.
Ron?
I don't really know what to say on a final thought. I really don't. The thing that I said earlier about myself was kind of my final thought already. But, maybe later, after somebody else says something.
After we turn off the record button.
Will I am?
Thank you for your graciousness of letting me come back in. Sorry.
You're fine.
I didn't know we had a choice.
even though I missed some of it, but what God calls us to be is His children. And that's what He calls us. He calls us redeemed. And He also calls us to renew ourselves daily. So it's not thinking of that old picture or that old ID. That some friends that know that you're a Christian now, like, will be like, oh, but we used to do X, Y, and Z back in the day. Like, why don't you want to go out now? Like, why are you being a buzzkill just because you're Christian? Yes. Something in one of my devotions that I was doing earlier this week was, of course I looked it up and I got away from it for a second. James 4:17 says, it is sin to know what you ought to do and you don't do it, or you fail to do so. That's not just the bad things. But if you know you're supposed to do something right, it's sin isn't just the bad things that you shouldn't do, it's the good things that you don't.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I like that.
And I've been on that for the last week since I read that. I'm like, what are the good things that I'm not doing? What are the... It's I listen to a lot of my own voice and the external voices that say that, hey, you're not good enough, but God calls me good enough in this situation that he's put me in, this beautiful, crazy situation that I would love to understand. I will never understand. But he's wanting to bless me in this moment. Not just he's wanting to bless whoever else in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
That God calls me qualified to say this good thing right now, no matter if I think it's wrong or not. And like, we've all been there of like second guessing ourselves, like, but in that moment God calls us
mm-hmm.
to act.
Mm-hmm. Do you obey or not?
Do it.
Yeah. Steph, share some wisdom.
Some wisdom. So I, for my final thought, really just want to think about and talk about Joshua. I think he is somebody that when you read his account, you know his identification is solely in God, to where he was so isolated from the rest of the camp that he didn't mingle with them, really. Like, we really don't have a whole lot of account of him being a part of it. He was made very clear he is to stay outside the camp for all times. He was able to do everything that Moses did. Like, all of the miracles, things that God did through Moses, God also did through Joshua. And there's no question. Like, we don't really have an account of Joshua backsliding at all. Like, I think if we look at scripture of somebody, and there's obviously many, but somebody who their ID was solely in Christ, solely in God, Joshua is one that comes to my mind. And we don't really have the account of him trying to live off of the second ID. Like, he's not like, but God, I really want to go and meet the people. I really want to go do this. Like, they're having this party. Let me go and do that. Like, they don't have an account of what he was like before. Like, it's just not there. And, of course, we have our past. So we're not like Joshua, at least what we know of Joshua. We're not like him there. But I always wonder, if I could just take all day and be in God's Word and be in his presence, what could I do? Well, that's not an option for me right now. But what's my excuse? Because I can't wake up 30 minutes earlier to get into my word, get into his word, you know, to figure out what is he wanting me to know? What is he wanting to speak to me? How is he wanting me to grow? I don't have the excuse. So I need to stop telling myself the excuse. But then I just really think about, you know, his famous quote of, be strong and courageous. This world's going to tear you down. And so we have to be strong. We have to be courageous. We have to know who we are in Christ. So when the world says, no, that's not you, we can tell the world, you're wrong. That is who I am. And this is how I define myself. This is who I'm connected to. This is my Father. This is what he's willing to do for me. Regardless of whether I think I'm worthy or not, that's what he did for me. Those are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't argue with God's facts.
You can try, but you'll lose.
Right, you're wrong.
You're wrong, yeah. Bob? Come on down.
Come on down. The price is right. Pick a door.
I guess he's got a couple of verses.
Pick a door.
I'll bet a dollar on that.
Just one. You know, we've been talking about our identity. When you think you've lost your identity, you really haven't, because it can be found. And the one who can find it is the one who created us. God is the one that has that right to give us the new identity. He done it for Abram, which he made Abraham. He done it for Jacob, called him Israel. So, you know, God's got, excuse me, God's got the right to change names. He's got the right to change identities. So, you know, I think that 1 Corinthians 5:17 is probably a pretty good verse. And it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So, you know, it's God who changes the identity. The new creation comes, enters into you, kicks the old one plumb out. Bye-bye. Time to find a new place to live. So, you know, logistically, we cannot get our, find our identity horizontally. It's vertically that we got to find our identity, which is God. He's the one, you know. So when you accept Him, He changes your identity. You take on His identity. Like I said a while ago, it's His choices to what He names us, what He renames. You know, and there's power in names. There's meaning in names. You know, and that's something that's been laid on my heart for probably a couple, 3 weeks now, that what's the power in the name? You know, and I'm really positive that it's probably gonna spark a sermon because, you know, there's power in names. There really is. I mean, each one of our names means something. You know, we've been looking at the book of Daniel. We've been studying Daniel. We went through 1 and 2. Well, right off the get-go, when Daniel and, as Tish would call them, the boys, which was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was actually named Hananiah,
Mishael,
and Azra, you know. But they changed their names to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then Daniel was changed to, I can't even,
Belshazzar,
something like that, yes. But if you'll look at it, those names done a 180-degree flip from what God named them. God named them.
Godly names.
And then Nebuchadnezzar's like, oh, let's flip it 180 degrees. Because Nebuchadnezzar was a cruel, evil king. So he changed their names to suit him. So my thing is even though the world changes our name, even though it tries to change our identity, we don't have to let it. Because we know who our identity is actually in. And that's Christ. Because He's the one that hung on that cross. He's the one that we need to be in. Nothing in this world. That's all I got.
For me, like Bob said, if your identity's in the world, you're going downward. But if you're in the connection part of the worldview, connecting with God, being with God, being with community, like Mike said, everything goes up, right? And when everything goes up, those things that seem like they're so important become not so important anymore. It becomes less of about what's in it for me and how much do I get, to more about how much can I give away? How much can I help? Another thing that I like that I heard this past week was Jesus is with us. God's around us. God's around us. Jesus is with us. And the Spirit's in us. How are we using the Spirit? Are we stifling it by staying idle? Or are we sharing it? That's all I got. Bob, would you pray us out?
Absolutely. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, first of all, I just want to thank you for the identity that we have in you. Father, and I thank you for making the old man kick rocks. Father, we know that this world will try to beat us down. We know this world will try to change our identities, try to make us look like we're not a part of you. But Father, we know that we are, because Father, we know what your Son done for us. Father, we thank you for that. Father, I thank you for the discussion you've allowed us to have tonight. Father, I hope and I pray that it just touches that one person, or it touches many persons. But Father, you decide who needs it, Father, and allow you to just allow your Spirit to just flow through and just touch the hearts of whoever needs it. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And until next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.